Is Auburn going to be in the hunt for a new offensive coordinator next season?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy Thursday. It's time for another Barn Takeover. We do this every week. If you're a member at thebarnauburn.com, you get to submit your questions, and we talk through a litany of different topics. We're going to talk about the potential offensive coordinator changes this offseason. I'll kind of preface that, so don't freak out. What's the biggest defect on the offense, and could there be a quarterback change brewing? We'll dive all into that in just a second, but before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code next round to get a double up deposit on your first a double up bonus on your first deposit. So give them $200. They'll give you another $200 back to play with absolutely free. You can hit that sports betting book. You can hit the sports book any possible way you like to bet. Hopefully you got some Auburn minus 17 and a half last night versus Vermont. You would have been very comfortable very quickly with that bet, as Auburn wins by 51 points. But check them out. Bet any way you like. Mybookie.ag. All right. So like I said, if you're a member at the barnauburn.com, you get to submit your questions. I'd love for you guys to join. You still get that $1 membership for just a little bit longer for the first month. And it's my favorite part of the week, because there's some really, really great questions. And I want to preface a couple of these beforehand, so we're not freaking out. But obviously Southern Miss is in a middle of a coaching search, and Derek Nix is popping up as one of the top candidates. He's an alumni. He's been in Mississippi, coached in Mississippi essentially his whole career. Has a ton of connections, and I think he makes a lot of sense. And I think they like him a lot, and he could very well be the next head coach at Southern Miss. So a lot of these questions are with that. Just take it with that sort of context. Because there's a lot of discussion about offensive coordinator, the direction of the offense, what happens if Auburn were to make a change, and things like that. And so just understand that. Not saying it's going to happen, not saying that it's very likely to happen, but it is definitely on the table, and it wouldn't shock me if he becomes the next head coach at Southern Miss. So we'll see what happens, but that's, understand the first couple of questions, that's where that's coming from. So let's go to the first one. Oso de Miami, one of our most active posters, a lot of good insight, does some really good breakdowns, big stat guy too. So really like him a ton. He asks, would you like to see a coordinator change on offense? If so, who's on your short list? If not, why? Okay, so let's take the first part of that question and the last part of that question. So would you like to see a coordinator change on offense? Okay, so Derek Nix is obviously the titled offensive coordinator. Hugh Freeze is the primary play caller. So it's a little bit of a tough question, because sort of it's sort of like a two-headed, really like a three-headed monster. So would I like to see a coordinator change on offense? I don't know if we can, because Hugh, again, from a traditional sense, in other words, you go bring in an offensive coordinator that calls his own plays. It's his own offense. It's his own identity. And he comes in and he runs the offense. Okay. Now, in theory, that sounds great. And that honestly could be the best situation for Hugh Freeze. But I don't know that it's in his DNA to not be involved on the offensive side of the ball. And I don't know that I want him not involved on the offensive side of the ball, because he's been successful on offense literally everywhere he's been up until Auburn. So do I want to see a coordinator change? I don't want to see a coordinator change outside of, I still want Hugh's main identity to be on the offense. So I still want him involved because I still think there's a ton of value there. I think he's always been one of the better play callers in college football, and I want to see him, you know, I want to see at least one more year where he's got another year of stacking classes, and then I want to see what they do in the portal to be able to bring in, you know, maybe a little bit more ready-made quarterback to give some of these younger guys just a little bit more time to develop, because I think you have a very, very talented young quarterback group as well, but maybe just with the way the first two seasons have played out, I don't know that you can afford let's play a young guy and develop him through game time. I think you're going to have to bring in somebody from the portal to sort of beef up, sort of kickstart the offense and move that way. So my preference is maybe there's some better arrangement. Maybe there's some better teacher that you can look at that could be added to that room. I really thought that three-headed monster of, well, it's really not even just a three-headed monster. You got Marcus Davis and you got Jake Thornton. And there's a question that we'll talk about that a little bit in depth in a minute. So I don't know that I want to change offensive coordinators yet, because to me that would mean changing the whole philosophy. And I don't 100% know if that's the answer yet. So I don't really have a short list of guys that I'd be looking at if that were to change, because I'm not sure that it's going to be a wholesale bring in this whole new offensive coordinator and then change everything, because then that would be essentially three changes in 3 years. I think you might be better served trying to find something to help like further what you've sort of established this year, because from a yardage perspective, it's working, but you're still sort of play calling in a way to protect some deficiencies, and maybe if you can correct some of those deficiencies and teach it a little bit better, you know, you could see a big jump next year and finally be able to like put some, you know, finish some drives off and put some points on the board. Hope that answers your question. I don't really have a short list because I don't expect it to be like your traditional offensive coordinator search if something were to happen. Now, I could be wrong, but I don't think it's going to be like, let's go look at the top five offenses in the country and who's the play caller, and then let's go get that play caller. I don't think it's going to be like that if it were to change. So let's move to the next one. AU Conda, this is a good one. With the possibility of finding a new coordinator, could Billy be the target? And I assume he's talking about Billy Napier from Florida, maybe. I should have clarified this, but I'm not 1,000% convinced that Billy's getting fired. So I don't even know that he's going to be available. But this does bring up a really good point, okay, a really good talking point. So I think if Auburn goes and gets a new coordinator, okay, if Auburn goes and gets a traditional offensive coordinator search where you're trying to go find a primary play caller, I think the philosophy has to be completely different from what Hugh Freeze wants. I think it has to be complete, because I look at the way the defense has worked and it's like, I turned it over, I'm helping them recruit, and I got a head coach over there, and it just sort of is what it is. And then he runs it, and it's been successful. I think you got to have, if that's the case, if you do bring in a primary play caller, I think it's got to be similar to that. I bring you in, you hire your staff, or you do what you got to do, and then I'm going to step out of it. And then, you know, whatever happens, happens. I'm going to help you recruit. I'm obviously going to be there on the game day operations, the game day planning. I'm going to be involved in it. I'm going to have some say in it. But for the most part, I can't, there's not really any way for me to jump in and call a play or jump in and say anything, because it's a completely different philosophy than what I have. Now, I don't see that happening. But if that were the case and Billy were available, I think it might be a decent fit, because it would be something so different. And Billy did have a very efficient offense whenever he was the primary play caller, I think at Louisiana, Lafayette, or whatever school he was before he went to Florida. So I hope that answers that. Keep going. Same similar flavor, and then we'll take a quick break. With the possibility, oh man, I forgot to put the person's name. I apologize. So you'll know if this is your question. Would the possible offensive coordinator change affect our current commitment, such as Deuce Knight? I don't, because I think those are Hugh guys. I think those are Hugh's guys. I think Hugh's the one that was the primary guy for Deuce Knight. Was the prime, and then I think a lot of the commitments around and after Deuce were sort of because of Deuce. So I don't really see if that were a change. Now it might make some, you know, it might make people a little bit uncertain until they sit down with Hugh and know the direction. But I don't think it would really affect. I don't think it would affect any of the commits. I don't think there's anybody here 100% that's because of Derek Nix. Now, I think he's played a great role in a lot of the recruitments, but I don't think there's anybody that's here that's like, I'm a Derek Nix guy. Like, that's 100%. The only reason I came to Auburn is because of Derek Nix. I don't think there's any of that out there at the moment. So before we hit the rest of the back half of the questions, let's give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. Check him out today at retirementresults.com/plan and get a custom free portfolio analysis. It's a $1,500 value. He'll make sure, like, there's really no reason to not make sure that your savings, your 401k, your IRA, whatever you have going on, there's really no reason to not have someone take another look at it, an outside source look at it, and show you if you're paying too many fees, if you're not doing things you need to do, to protect yourself from the IRS, or you're taking advantage of products that you need to be taking advantage of. Ford Stokes is the guy for you. Check him out at the website I just mentioned. Tell him we're Eagle. Tell him we sent you. It's Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. I know he was fired up about that basketball game last night. So check him out. Tell him we're Eagle. All right, let's keep going. Jared Ogle, another one of our, he may have been the first member. May have been the first subscription to the site. So we'll see. I'll have to go look back at the dates. But Jared Ogle, other than QB and just overall talent, what do you think is the biggest reason we're not where we need to be? I think he's specifically talking about offense. Okay, so there is some kind of, it seems to me, now from an outsider's perspective, okay, it seems to me, outside looking in, there is some sort of teaching disconnect happening, okay? What do I mean by that? There is a lot of, you hear wide receiver running the wrong route. You hear offensive linemen missing assignments, MAs. You hear that a lot. And my question when I hear stuff like that is obviously why? Why is that happening? Why is that happening in some of these guys have been here for almost a year now. Some of these guys have been here over a year. I understand you got the same offensive line coach. You got the same wide receivers coach. I understand you have different terminology, and I understand it's a little bit of it's a different system completely. So surely there's some learning. There's a learning curve there. I understand that typically when you change an offense, there's some time that it takes to sort of develop and get going. And typically when there's a coordinator change, maybe you're slow to start and you sort of get better as the year goes on. It seems like it's going in the opposite direction. So it seems like there's some sort of disconnect in communication that all of the position groups don't seem to be pulling in the same direction, which is the problem. And I don't know if it's something that's malignant. I don't know if it's something that's an easy fix. I don't know if it's something that's just a position coaching issue, but it does. It seems like there's some sort of, not everybody seems to be on the same page, and that's obviously got to be fixed. And I don't know the short answer to it. I know there's not an answer for the next three games. You just kind of got to get out there and do the best you can and see what happens. But there's definitely going to be some soul searching this offseason. There's going to be some looking in the mirrors and deciding, Hugh's going to have to decide, do I have the people in place that can teach this thing the way I need it taught so that we can execute at a really high level? Because that to me seems to be where the biggest issue is. I mean, how many times have we heard the Hugh in press conference say wrong route or missed assignments? It's a lot. And it's that a lot of that falls back on coaching. You know, there's a lot of responsibility that goes on to the player because you can teach them. They still have to go execute. But at some point, there has to be, it's kind of like the kid that's in kindergarten and he comes home and he says, you know, with a bad report card on, you know, under the discipline section and says he's, you know, been a bad kid or a tough kid to teach. And he says, the teacher hates me. Okay, well, that's fine. But after third and fourth grade, every year it's the same thing. The teacher hates me. Okay, at some point in time, we got to look in the mirror. Why does the teacher hate you every year? You know, it's kind of like that. Like, okay, after week 7, 8, and we're still having missed assignments, we're still having wrong routes, it's time to look in the mirror and say, okay, I understand the player probably has a lot of responsibility, but there's got to be something going on here in on the coaching aspect, the teaching aspect, as to why we're not getting it, why we're not getting this, and why we're still having the same issue. So that's if I could diagnose anything, and I know that could maybe seem very broad, but I do think you have an issue at quarterback, but at the same time, you do have some stuff that probably makes it harder on the quarterback when you have missed assignments and wrong routes and things like that. So overall, it's just been a mess on the offensive side. And what's crazy is they've shown flashes they can be really good, but the details aspect of it is definitely lacking. Let's move on. Mr. Incredible. I love the name. Do you think Hugh pulls the plug on Peyton? If he did, would it be enough to spark a late season run in this talent-rich team? I do think the verbiage that came out of the teleconference on Wednesday seems to possibly signal that there could be a quarterback change, and it could be that they roll with Hank. Walker also could play some part of the last three games and not burn a red shirt. So Hugh said they're evaluating all aspects, you know, of the future. That's what he said. He's like, Peyton's played pretty solid, but you know what? You got to be thinking, you got to be planning ahead. You got to be thinking about the future. So we're evaluating everything. I think, and that's something that he's not really said before that really seems like an open end to possibly making a switch and planning for the, development for the future. Now, the second part of the question, I don't think the backup quarterback is the difference in this team. Okay. I don't think the backup quarterback is the difference in creating a spark to like, that's just the missing piece. I wish it was. It's very often, not very often, almost always not the answer, but could it create a little bit of excitement? Sure. I know it would create some excitement in the fan base. At least it's something different. You're not coming to the stadium to watch the exact same thing. So I could see a little spark from energy. But as far as thinking that, and I love Hank, and I think Hank's going to be a really good player. But as far as in 2024, if I think Hank's the answer, I just don't. I don't. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that I'm 1,000% wrong. If they do make the change and they light it up over the next three games, I'll be the first one to come in here and say that I'm wrong. I have no problem with that. I just don't think it's the case. Let's keep going. This is a really good, this is a fascinating question. Okay. Brian Beatty, is there something about coaching at Auburn that makes coaches get conservative? Hugh's super conservative now. Tuberville got conservative. Malzahn. It's et cetera. That is a really, really fascinating question, because if you really look at the history of Auburn, Auburn's never, first of all, what does conservative mean? And I think it means, you know, we're not really throwing the ball around. You're trying to protect the ball. You're running the ball a lot. which we, even though we haven't ran it a ton because we haven't had a ton of plays, I think that's sort of, and you play good defense. That's kind of been like the Auburn calling card. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that Auburn, for whatever reason, has been able to get really good running backs and really good defensive players. And they've maybe struggled at times getting a, you know, top flight quarterback and maybe some top flight wide receivers. And I think you've got some of those aspects now. They're just really young. But you look back across like the history, and it's kind of been that way. Auburn runs the ball a lot and then plays really good defense, typically. And then those are the teams that, you know, sometimes those are some of the better teams that have been at Auburn. Now, I can't really pinpoint why that is, but it seems like that's sort of been the case for Auburn. I don't know that Hugh is getting conservative out of this. I think Hugh feels like he's getting conservative out of necessity so that they don't turn the ball over. I don't think there's anything about Hugh's offense that's ever been conservative, and I don't think he wants to be a conservative offense. I think that it's a when it's running, it's explosive and it's hard to defend. And I think that's the identity that he wants to have, that takes some chances, takes some 50-50 shots throughout the game and gets his matchups. And we're not seeing that right now because I don't think we have the players we feel like that can execute that. So in turn, we're having to go to this, what we've seen over the last four games, which is sort of like a shell of the offense. And it's like, let's protect the ball from being turned over. And it's making us look a little more conservative than we like. But I mean, look at Malzahn. Malzahn was at Tulsa and they threw it for a bunch and they ran it for a bunch. And that the throwing aspect of it at Auburn seemed to always be, you know, an issue, except for out of, you know, maybe 2 years. Throwing the ball has always been a challenge, but running the ball, we ran the ball a ton. We controlled the clock. We didn't really put the ball in the air. We ran the ball a ton. If the run was working, we'd run it down your throat. But obviously that never led to being able to win a ton of the big games, because it's not that hard to stop the run. If you know that's all they can do, you go to Tuberville, a lot of the same. It was, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust and then play really, really back-breaking defense. And you can win games 3-2 and 7-3 and 10-9. I think it's just that Auburn is really good at getting kids. It's in a good spot to get kids from Georgia, get kids from Alabama that can play defense, get kids from Florida that can play defense. And then maybe you just struggle getting that top flight, that big time quarterback or those big time, you know, first round draft pick type wide receivers that can stretch the field. And I think that's sort of been an Achilles heel of the Auburn program. And then, you know, obviously Hugh's come in and sort of beefed that up a little bit from the talent aspect, young talent, but still maybe that could be the difference. I don't know. It's a really fascinating question. If you go back and think about it, how Auburn has always been, you only have 2,000-3,000 yard passers ever. It's pretty sad. No, it feels like everybody's doing that now. And Auburn's still searching for that 3,000 yard passer, only have maybe 1,000 or 2,000 yard receivers. It's just not a lot of high level skill guys at the quarterback and the wide receiver position over the years that have been able to, like, you're talking like big time. You just haven't really had that. Even when Cam was here, we didn't throw for 3,000 yards. You didn't really have that. You had Darvin Adams, but Darvin Adams didn't even know that he made an NFL roster. Really good college player, but you just didn't have that game breaker wide receiver that, you know, that NFL type wide receiver. Auburn's just really struggled to get those guys. So let's take, we got a couple more and we're going to get out here, and these are more fun than anything. Preacher, this isn't a question, but Tahad Pettiford is better than Aiden Holloway. Now, I think there's probably some truth to that, but after through one game, Aiden's got the nod. I think Aiden scored like 13 points in his first game. Tahad didn't score last night, but played really good on defense, got in foul trouble, made some incredible moves, and just couldn't finish. But I think that's coming. That should be coming. He'll be a fun player to watch. And then somebody want to add to that, Harry AU. Can I add to this? I don't like the way Nate Oat looks. Every time I see him, I get pissed off. he does have one of those looks. It's just like, oh man, I just don't like that guy. I don't know what it is about him. I probably would love him if he was Auburn's head coach, but for whatever reason, I'll bet you that people look at Hugh too, but Bruce the same way that a lot of people that oppose it, that we look at Nate Oates. I bet you that's the case. Like, I bet you there's things that Bruce does that just drives opposing fan bases crazy that we love. And it's the same thing the other way. So that's all for today, guys. Another great barn takeover. Great questions. Really looking deep. I really like it. That's what I like. I like looking deep. I like really breaking things down and discussing stuff and having some hot takes. You know, I love a hot take. And again, I don't claim to be a football expert, but I do feel like I know Auburn and I've watched Auburn and forever and ever. And now I'm watching it even more in depth. So I don't know. I feel like I have a decent read on Hugh and the way things are going currently. So we'll see if they make up a quarterback change. We'll see if we have to go on a coaching search to find that missing piece, and then what direction they want to go in. Do they go plug and place another guy that's got an OC title but more of a recruiter / assistant, or do they go wholesale and bring in a whole new philosophy? I don't see that part happening, but I think it's got to be something completely different if they bring somebody else in. So we'll see what happens. Guys, if you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. Subscribe to thebarnauburn.com for only $1 for a little bit longer for your first month. And you know we'll be back every single week. We got Houston this weekend. Basketball, follow that Barn Hoops pod. We'll keep updating you. Reaction shows, and Zep jumps on and he'll break it down and all that good stuff. So a lot of stuff going on at the barn, and you should be, you need to get involved. So we'll catch you again tomorrow. It's another episode of the Todd Budden Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.